The following Dharma talk was given at Boundless Way Temple in Worcester, Massachusetts. The temple is an affiliate of Boundless Way Zen, a multi-lineage school of Zen Buddhism.
So already the 400th night of our three-week sesshin. Some of us here for the first evening, some of us have been here since before we can remember. There is a quality of time as we practice that the usual structures and meanings and divisions begin to be a little less certain. I suppose it's this way when we do anything that we love, when we're fully engaged in our life, the division is not so pronounced. Maybe there's no need to stand outside to measure, and then there is the fullness of time right here. Such a privilege to be here on this retreat. Sometimes we say it's a hard training to be here. And people say, oh my goodness, how can you do it? Of course, I have no idea how we do it, but the bell rings and we show up. But in this lifetime and in this world that is rushing around so frantically, trying to find itself. The privilege of coming together to do this work, the privilege of even having heard of this work, that there is a way to meet our life, is a rare thing to encounter this teaching. And even rarer to decide to enact this in some way, to take up this path, get on an airplane and come to come up north, or get in the car and drive west, or walk around the block, whatever you had to do to get here. For me, it's just coming downstairs. But here we are, and a great privilege indeed. So we're looking into the Lojong teachings, and we're in point six, the discipline of relationship. And I was just giving a demonstration of point 23, come back to basics. But I want to talk about point 24, don't be a phony. I want to start with a poem by a Zen poet, an American Zen poet. I think he has recently died, David Budbill. And he lived up in northern Vermont and really did his best to embody a life of practice, a Zen life, a life of the way. And he wrote many wonderful poems, and this one is called Dilemma. He says, I want to be famous so I can be humble about being famous. What good is my humility when I'm stuck in this obscurity? I want to be famous so I can be humble about being famous. What good is my humility when I'm stuck in this obscurity? And Kazan, in the reading we did tonight from his Zazen Yojinki, Kazan says, do not use the way to make yourself important. This is the foremost point to remember. So David Budbill's wonderful poem, such a wonderful presentation of the subtlety of the ego. when Melissa and I were starting to teach in more places, and Boundless Way was starting to happen, I said to my teacher, George Bowman, I said I was concerned because I thought some of this becoming a more well-known Zen teacher was involved with some amount of ego. And he laughed and said, well, of course, what you're doing has some amount of ego. He said, if you didn't do it, that would have some amount of ego as well. So we imagine that there might be some way that we could be pure easy when we start to practice. And we've alluded to this a few times, easy to think that we might become special people, and particularly challenging if we have some experience of the great oneness of things, of the wonder of waking up to this world. As Keizan talks so wonderfully in this reading, we have talks about all the experiences we can have as we're sitting. Feel hot or cold, feel as if you're sinking or floating, dull or sharp. Sometimes you may believe that in this moment you have attained wisdom and now thoroughly understand all the sutras and commentaries. And then we can go home to our partner or to our friends and explain to them all the sutras and commentaries and see what they think about our great Zen learning. I guarantee you will not have a very good reception. In fact, occasionally Melissa and I, this may be hard to believe, but get in disputes. There are different points of view. And one of the things that is sometimes said is, don't give me any of that Zen bullshit. So even in our household, it does not fly. It sounds so good, right? And it sounds true, and it is good, and it is true. But it is a seduction. Zen and Buddhism is just another dream. It is not real. It has no substance. Whatever we do, the ego takes over. The ego is always trying to construct a self, some kind of solid self. I am this, and I am not that. And the ego is astonishingly creative. It will use whatever materials at hand. So we can construct quite a robust identity as a Zen student or Zen teacher. I'm a Zen teacher. I fly across the ocean to teach people. I'm quite something, and I'm not really impressed with myself, but I just want you to know. It goes on. It will go on, and there is no stopping this selfing. Selfing is just what the mind does. The biggest danger, and I think we see this in many different places, but I think the biggest danger is when we think somehow we have escaped. There are all kinds of stories of so many Zen teachers acting in incredibly unethical ways. People of great realization who have looked deeply into the matter, and the tendency to think that somehow you are no longer subject to the rules that everyone else is seems to be almost irresistible. And of course we see this not just in Zen teachers, but in other religious leaders, other professionals, seems to be almost wherever there is some differential in power, that the person who has the power somehow is becomes untethered to some kind of mutuality, a recognition of that, and that we are all caught up in this. So for me, this don't be a phony on one level, wonderful call to authenticity. So be yourself, and indeed, this is what we are practicing on the cushion. But it turns out to be quite a subtle thing, and important to know that we are all phonies. So to think, oh yes, I used to be a phony, then I started Zen, or then I started therapy, or then now I really see clearly who I am. There is no human position of seeing clearly who you are. There is only this ongoing adventure, this ongoing awareness. So it does seem to me so important to do our practice and to walk our path with some kind of genuine humility. And part of this humility is knowing, however clear we are, or however however much we have seen and known, we are still blind, and we are blind where we are blind. It's not like we can even know what it is that we don't know. So this blindness is a condition, a partiality. We only see partially, only see from our perspective. And so to assume that we are something different than that is quite a danger. So conscious of our coughing and our hosting viruses here. Poor Melissa Roshi sitting next to me and coughing and hacking, demonstrating quite a great deal of authenticity. Thank you for joining. Reminds me of a story Melissa usually tells about being at a conference with the Dalai Lama was speaking, and it was a mind and body conference, and there were scientists presenting the beneficial effects of meditation and how it helps the immune system. And the Dalai Lama had a really bad cold and was sneezing and coughing the whole time. So maybe an incarnation of Dalai Lama next to me. But as we practice, we are not set apart. We do not become different people. Our life does not change in some fundamental way. One great Zen master used to say, my Zazen is not a trick. My Zazen is not a trick. There is no way to trick life, to trick the limits of our body. All of us are heading for the same destination, this destination of disappearing, of stepping aside. And I think perhaps as we remember this mortality and this fragility, we can appreciate our blindness, appreciate that to be authentically ourselves is quite a challenge. All of the pressures to look good, to be good, to come up to some image. But some opportunity as we sit in this lovely room together, this quiet, dark winter evening, to quietly practice being ourself, to let ourself be as we are, whatever is here, whatever clarity or confusion. No need to become a student of Zen or a Buddhist or anything, but to see what is possible in this great freedom, the great freedom of not looking around, the freedom of this noble silence we keep together, the freedom of the stillness, not adjusting our posture, and the freedom of doing our best together. So this is how we express our authenticity. This is how we become who we already are.